Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's another episode of Off the Line Fantasy Football Podcast, episode 52. We are week 13. We are almost at the playoffs, man. Last 2 weeks of the regular season before we hit these playoffs. Again, my name is Eugene. You can follow me on Twitter at FantasyGenes, that's G-E-N-E-S. Also follow our official Twitter handle, Off the Line FF. And of course, my fellow Cowboys fan and other host of the show, Ike. You can follow him on just underscore Ike09 on Twitter. How you feeling today, man? How you doing?
Good, man. Good. Ready to get rocking and rolling with week 13 talk. Week 13, man. It's already the end of November. Tomorrow is December 1st.
Bruh,
December,
it's going quick.
December, month number 12.
Yeah,
what, man. What's going on here?
Quick.
What the hell is happening right now, man? But sheesh. But yeah, we got a lot of football to get to, man. We had a pretty full slate this past week, man. Pretty full slate. I'm glad there was no bye week. So, you know, there was a lot of there was a lot of DFS action, a lot of props. I didn't hit anything, unfortunately. It was a pretty brutal week for me, props wise and in fantasy wise. I don't think I got that many wins out of like all of my, I think, 15 leagues. I think I won like just a handful. So it was a brutal week fantasy and betting wise. What about you though?
Shoot, let's just get right into it and recap these prize pick plays. This sums up my week also. I split, you know, I had Lockett 63.5 for my first prize pick play, and he was sitting on needing 1 yard for almost two full quarters if you add overtime, that he just needed 1 yard and he couldn't get it. So, you know, I was kind of pretty heartbroken about that. And then, you know, I had everybody's favorite pick, Jeff Wilson from Dolphins. Everybody assumed that he was just going to super smash the slate because of their matchup. But I picked him to score a touchdown. He did that. So at least that saved my day. I didn't have to sweat that one out. That was done by the second quarter.
You know, I have some good news for you.
Okay.
You said 63.5 was the number for Tyler Lockett?
Correct.
He had 68.
Really?
He had 3 for 68.
Really?
Yeah. So you went 2-0.
I must have missed that one. I guess so, because I know I was sick for a long time sitting there waiting on that 1 yard. I guess.
For real though, like I was watching that game too, and he was stuck at 63 for an eternity.
Yeah.
For an eternity. Yeah. But no, he got another catch, 68 yards.
Oh shit, I missed that one. So yeah, salute to myself. So I went 2 for 2.
Two and oh. But I actually split this week. Mike Evans, he got 9 targets, 2, but only caught 2 of those for 31 yards. And was going against Emerson from the Browns. He had a pretty good matchup and should take advantage. Brady just weren't connecting. I think he had a lot of air yards, a lot of deep ball attempts, but they were just falling. They were just kind of outstretched. But that's, you know, that's unfortunate. But you know, I had T. Higgins on the other end. You know, obvious, that's an obvious smash. Almost every week that Jamar Chase is out. I think they set his yards at 70.5, which was absurd. I think I don't get that. Like that made no sense to me. But hey, T. Higgins smashed. That was good. Mike Evans did not. So, you know, like I say every week, we watch the film, get better.
Yeah.
And that's what we're gonna do.
And just to put your heart at ease a little bit, Mike Evans did lead the week in air yards.
Of course,
187.
Of course, yeah. So the process was right. The process was down pat, but you know, if they connected on one of those other deep balls, probably would have cleared 60 and a half easily. But hey, coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Yeah.
if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, and whatever that philosopher said.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. All right, bold predictions. Last week, I said D-Hop was going to be wide receiver one. And Hollywood Brown comes back his first game and actually out-targets D-Hop. I believe it was like 8-6. I just didn't understand that, you know. It was a good matchup again. I don't know. But the offense, I mean, for a lot of parts of that game, the offense looked pretty decent with the two together. Just sucks that they didn't get the win, but there's no just potential good thing outcomes for those two and with Kyler on that offense. So just come back next week with another prediction. So
yeah, and then just really quick on the Cardinals, like, isn't this their like sixth or seventh home game they've lost this year?
They've played seven home games. They're 1-6.
They're 1-6 at home.
Yeah.
Why can't they win at home? Like that is crazy to me how they have literally zero home field advantage. We'll talk about them a little bit later on, but yeah, that's bizarre. That offense, I don't know what's going on with them. It's, you know, Kyler Murray was back. Yes, he had a pretty good fantasy day, but real life, I mean, it's not translating to wins.
No,
not translating the wins. So that's another thing they have to kind of think about, you know, moving forward. But my bold prediction, though, I had Jeff Wilson to be a top four running back, and he didn't even come anywhere close. And he played against the worst run defense in the league.
Man,
only 39 yards rushing. That was what a disappointment that was. And I put him in on, and he's part of the reason why I didn't hit a lot of props, because I had him tied up in a lot of prop parlays, and you know, thinking he was just going to smash, just destroy the Texans, and he did just the opposite. Yeah, he scored a touchdown, but that was it. And I think he got hurt. I think in the third quarter, I think Tyreek Hill dragged him off the field. I think, but he did come back later on. And I think it was a relatively minor injury, but even then, he wasn't really getting that much work or having that much success running the ball. So it was just brutal. Just brutal.
Yeah. He was ass.
Yeah. But just leading, you know, we want to go ahead and switch to a positive note leading into our fantasy MVP of the week. This guy was not brutal. The defense that he was playing against was brutal, but Josh Jacobs just absolutely goes bonkers against the Seahawks. Over 300 total yards, you know, 222 on the ground, 74 through the air, and two touchdowns, including a walk-off 86-yard house call. Man, like, and he did all this on a bad calf. He was questionable to play up until basically inactives or inactives were released. We weren't sure if he was going to play. So he did all this on a bad calf, and I know they came out earlier this week and said he's not going to practice basically at all this week. But I think he's fully expected to play against the Chargers, who's another bad run defense. But yeah, Josh Jacobs earning himself a lot of money in the offseason because he's a free agent. The Raiders did not pick up his fifth-year option. So that's going to be an interesting conversation to have, whether or not they franchise him or they sign him to a long-term deal. So that's going to be a huge topic of conversation.
I know the Raiders are definitely like biting themselves in the foot of not getting some lockdown, because the price of the brick went up a lot, because he's basically having his best season ever. So good luck to that.
Yeah. What's the saying? Tomorrow's price isn't yesterday's price, or did I have that? Whatever.
No.
I think I got the saying correct, but yeah, that's basically the sentiment here.
Yeah.
And then switching gears, LVP, we got to talk about a player that continues to underperform, continues to not exceed expectations. Russell Wilson. It might be going down so far. I mean, at least this is the way it's trending. It might be trending as one of the biggest fleece jobs in NFL history. Before the season, we thought the Seahawks were out of their minds by trading a quarterback that's in his prime, early 30s, still has a lot of his career left. And Russell Wilson gets to Denver, and just they're the lowest scoring team in the league. You know, he had another dud against the Panthers, only 142 yards passing. He scored less, and just, you know, for kickers here, he scored less than Jordan Love. And Jordan Love didn't even play a quarter of football. Russell Wilson played 60 minutes, and Jordan Love played probably a fraction of that. And he's, yeah, it's just embarrassing. You lose to Sam Darnold, who basically just, you know, dusted, you know, it was collecting dust on the bench up until last week. But yeah, Russell Wilson, fantasy LVP. Let's move on. So let's move on to some of the, you know, some of the quick reactions just based on, you know, what we saw from week 12. The first thing I want to talk about, we're going to stay on quarterbacks. We were anticipating this happening. Mike White cooked. Mike White for the Jets cooked over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean, that entire Jets offense looked more alive than they ever looked all season, outside of the times that Breece Hall played. But this is the best our offense has looked all season long. And those receivers are happy. Elijah Moore was happy. Elijah Moore was, you know, after the game, was wearing shades and talking to the media, basically talking about his sexual relationship with the football. But I told her I was going to be here, Bob, whatever he was saying. But it's good to see him smiling, good to see him in the end zone. He caught two passes for 42 yards, 62 yards and a touchdown. But Garrett Wilson was the standout receiver, standout recipient for Mike White's passes, you know. I think he had 100 yards and a couple of touchdowns. He was balling, and he caught this pass over the middle where he just broke a defender.
Yep.
Just sent him into the shadow realm and just yeah.
And then housed it to the end zone.
And housed it. It was like 55 yards. Like, man, that dude is a stud. Dude's a stud, man. But yeah, but Mike White, man. Kudos to him, and he has another pretty good matchup this week against the Vikings, who they have not been good. They just allowed Mac Jones to throw for 382 yards on Thursday night, Thanksgiving night. So,
and that was his best night of the season.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I get it. You still got to do it. I know it was the Bears defense, who's basically been the worst defense since they made those two trades. We saw Eddie Jackson get hurt in the game. In the middle of that game, it still didn't matter. They weren't stopping. They weren't stopping anything. So you still got to do it against these defenses. So salute to Mike White for doing that. But I need to see him do it for multiple weeks before I start like crowning this dude, because we've even said, I mean, coaches already came out and said like, hey, at some point Zach Wilson's going to be back. Granted, yes, it makes sense since you spent second overall pick on him, but. If your quarterback is the reason why you're losing, then I'm not sure if I would have been just eager to go out to the media and just say something like, we're going to put him back in at some point while you're in the middle of trying to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and just real quick, you made the point about crowning him. Nobody's actually crowning him. It was just good to see the Jets offense actually humming.
Yeah.
Because it was pretty obvious to anybody that has a trained eye that Zach Wilson was holding the Jets offense back.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, it makes sense to sit him down for a little while until he can kind of get things on track. But me personally, I don't think Zach Wilson's very good. I thought he was a bad pick by the Jets, and it still puzzles me to this day how the Jets were just so locked in on Zach Wilson from the very, very beginning of the Zach process, the draft process, refusing to look at any other quarterback prospects. Like it was just puzzling to me. You know, based on where he played, based on the competition that he faced. We'll see how it all unfolds, though. We'll see how it all unfolds. But Mike White's off to a pretty good start.
Yeah, he is. It was good to see that Jets offense going, man. It was like 4 weeks overdue, even longer than that, honestly. It was way overdue. They ain't blown games because of Zach Wilson. I'm just like, why is he still here? But
yeah.
I get it. the next person we want to talk about is Miles Sanders, man. I know this is somebody that you're a big fan of, and you before the season talked about the positive regression that should be coming his way. And here we are, man. Like, he's on his way to double digit touchdowns. He should be coming in close on 1,000-yard season. Again, like, positive regression mixed with AJ Brown being on your team lightens boxes. And then watching the game this last week, incompetence of a defensive coordinator, like you said, calling nickel defense, and yeah, you're like getting gassed 10 yards of carry.
Yeah, you know you go to the sideline, like the Packers defense, they would go to the sidelines like, man, we can't stop the run, like, what's going on? And blah, blah, blah. And then the defensive coordinator just keeps calling these base nickel packages, and the Eagles are spreading you out, and they're going to run up the middle. That's like they kept doing
yeah,
that. Like,
yeah, literally, we're spreading you out, like, figuratively and literally. So yeah,
I think Miles Sanders averaged like almost 6 yards a carry in that game.
It was, and then you couldn't even tell the difference between him and Kenny Gainwell or Boston Scott, because they were all gashing him.
Jalen Hurts was gashing him too.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man.
they had over 300 yards rushing in that game.
Yeah. I think it was like 350.
Yeah. 300 yards rushing. But you know, real quick on Miles Sanders, top five in the league in rushing yards. You know, he has 8 touchdowns, so he's easily going to clear double digit touchdowns. And that was, you know, that was the thing about my bold prediction earlier in the offseason was, look, it's regression's coming. He's still on a pretty good offense. He likes to run the ball a lot. He was super unlucky last year with touchdowns. Like, there were games where they would rush for like 4 rushing touchdowns. He would lead the backfield in yards and carries, but have no touchdowns.
Yep.
And you know, you had Kenneth Gainwell getting TD. Boston Scott getting a TD, Jalen Hurts getting a TD, but Miles Sanders wouldn't.
So Jordan Howard getting TDs.
Jordan Howard vulturing stuff. Like, so we just knew that wasn't going to last. And so that was a rationale there.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but another running back who, you know, we saw this week actually have a pretty decent workload was Rashad White. In the absence of Leonard Fournette, 9 catches for 43 yards in the passing game. And I think you know, another 40 or 50 on the ground. So his usage was pretty damn elite, pretty damn good. The Bucs offense is still, there's still something wrong with that Bucs offense. You know, I mentioned from the outset, Brady and Evans couldn't connect on those deep passes. And if they connected on a couple of those, they would have been in more scoring positions. And maybe Rashad White would have gotten into the end zone, you know, once or twice. So, but it was good to see Rashad White, you know, get a lot of usage, and it seems like he's taking over that backfield. But we'll see if Leonard Fournette is healthy this week, and we'll see if he's worked back into that backfield. But hey, that hip pointer, Fournette wasn't even able to practice last week, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think he was limited. I think he was limited, but he wasn't able to really like just, you know, open up his hips. Yeah. And run truly full speed. So, you know, we'll see if he's back this week against the Saints. It's the tough matchup for them. But if we see Rashad White getting a lot of usage out of the passing game, you know, almost double digit targets and 9 catches. I mean, we love to see that in PPR leagues.
Yeah, man, that was I was surprised, honestly, just because, you know, you got Keyshawn Vaughn, they can do it. I believe they activated Gio Bernard, but he didn't get used at all. So. They really like Rashad White. I mean, he had 90% of the snaps, 70% of rushing attempts. So if he's out again, if Leonard is out again, then you know we're going to see basically like almost a full workload for Rashad White, which is a beautiful thing to see for some fantasy owners.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's talk about some quarterbacks, man. T-Law and Herbert, man. I see the coaches drop their balls, man, and say, hey, go win us the game. And they both did it, man. They both definitely had great fourth quarters. If you watch either one of those games, put their teams on their backs and eventually won the game versus some good teams. I know we saw T-Law versus the Baltimore Ravens. They goofed that game up. That game should have been.
Oh, well,
how many times did we see the Ravens in the red zone and they came away with a field goal, not a touchdown, or drop balls that should have been caught for touchdowns? So, T-Law, he locked in on Zay Jones. Zay Jones was, you would have thought he was like Justin Jefferson out there the way he was opened.
10 for 145, man. 145.
Bro. And then Justin Herbert, I mean, he had DeAndre Carter looking like an all-pro slot receiver. Austin Eckler again with a million catches out the backfield. They just found a way, man. They just found a way. And they look good. I know T-Law, the last 3 weeks, I believe he's thrown, I think, 7 or 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. So
he's starting to hit a stride. He's starting, like, you know, sometimes, you know, it takes a little longer for certain players to kind of get going. But I think now we can start definitively saying that, you know, Trevor Lawrence is starting to get going. 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, and a come from behind victory, signature win this early in his career. So it was good to see, good to see Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, hopefully they can build on this for next year, because they're not making the playoffs this year. So
yeah, and then we had some injuries come out of week 12. Same team, Jacksonville's Travis Etienne had a foot injury. He left pretty early. He only played, I think, 8 snaps or 8% of the snaps or something like something, some very, very small number.
Yeah.
And he left relatively early in that game, but they did say this week that he's going to be, I think he's potentially good to go for week 13. I don't know what happened with practice this week or today, if he practiced at all. Did he practice?
I don't know, but they just keep saying he could have been
back in the game. Yeah, they say he should be good to go for week 13, but we'll keep an eye on practice participation. We obviously talked about Josh Jacobs already. He ain't practicing nothing this week.
Nope.
You can rest as long as you can, so you can rip up the Chargers. Rip up the Chargers like they've been getting ripped up all season. And then James Conner looked like 2018 James Conner.
Yep. I think he was like 25 for 120 or something like that. Just ridiculous.
Yeah, and then we had Elijah Mitchell, another sprained MCL. Like, it just seems like he just keeps spraining. He keeps taking turns spraining his MCL. Like, it was the right MCL, now it's the left, and now he's going to miss another 6 to 8 weeks, and I think he's probably done for the season. Or if they, you know, make the playoffs, then he might be back during the playoffs. But yeah, that's unfortunate. And Chris McCaffrey had some knee tightness or
some
knee flare up or something like that. Or so that's another thing to keep an eye on. And then Aaron Rodgers in the Sunday night game hurt his oblique, and he missed the rest of that game. And he also is still nursing that broken thumb. And they said it's an avulsion fracture. Should have gotten surgery on it, but he's playing through it. And obviously, he's not really the same guy as he, you know, usually is. So that's another thing to keep an eye on. He didn't practice today. So I think I saw that he didn't practice today.
Mm-hmm.
Najee Harris has an abdomen injury. He left early. But reports came out and said that he escaped a serious injury. So, for whatever that's worth, Jaylen Warren, Anthony McFarland, some of those guys can hopefully fill in admirably. And obviously, we did talk about CMC already, but Darnell Mooney on that, you know, hurt his ankle, out for the season, placed on IR, and more complaints arise from that turf. In MetLife Stadium, that they just need to change that thing to grass or artificial grass or whatever the case is, because turf fields, man, they are just taking body parts with them every single week. It's an unfortunate set of circumstances, but yeah, it's a pretty brutal week for injuries. Not as bad as other weeks that we've seen. I know early in the season we had like a laundry list of injuries, but
yeah.
This week seems pretty tame compared to some of those other weeks. But yeah, those are some of the injuries coming out of week 12.
All right, man. So let's go ahead and get to the next segment of the show, the favorite segment of the show, cap or no cap. At this point, y'all should know what the difference of cap means, cap or no cap means. So basically, if I say the Cowboys lost this week on Thanksgiving Thursday, Ike would say,
that is such cap. Such cap.
We smashed the Giants. All right, so let's get to it. The first question, our first statement is, we know Deshaun Watson is back, man. Week 13. And, of course, the NFL set it up where he gets to go back to his previous home and play against the Houston Texans. No better way for the NFL to get ratings up for a random game than to, you know, bring back the – the predator back to his habitat, which was Houston, Texas.
We're not even going to do that. We're not even going to go there, sir.
You're right.
Hey, but imagine if the Texans were good. I mean, this is probably a multiverse kind of thought. But
what if
they were actually good and they would have flexed it to Sunday Night Football? That would have been a sight to behold.
Yeah, that would have been super spicy.
20 plus million people tuning in to watch Deshaun Watson go back to his old stomping grounds.
Yeah. All right. So what I have for you is that I'm starting Deshaun Watson this week over every quarterback not named Hurts, Herbert, Burrow, Patty Mahomes, Justin Fields if healthy, and Lamar Jackson, cap or no cap.
I'm going to say cap, man. I can't start him right now. I can't start him. I can't, because you have to remember, he hasn't played a game since January 2021. Right.
Facts.
So it's been a long time. And when he played in the preseason this past year, this August, he didn't look very good. He did not look very good in the preseason. He was misfiring. He was out of sync with his receivers. So he didn't look very good when we saw him. So I think we'll probably need to give him a couple of weeks before I actually deploy him in any lineups. I mean, he's good to have as like a guy to, with the upside that he possesses, especially that rushing upside, and he can make some pretty damn good throws. But I'm not starting him this week. I know it's against the Texans.
Yeah. Yeah. What about some of the owners that, that drafted him towards the end of their draft and they sat him on their bench this entire time and then probably been streaming, maybe been streaming QB position, maybe not. But regardless, they see the Texans and the Texans are that get right team, man. When you're feeling low, and you got the Texans on the schedule to, bring you back to where you think you are. It's here. Some of these owners are going to be feeling inclined like, hey, I don't have one of these quarterbacks I named. I might as well start Deshaun. What else? I mean,
if you're desperate, I mean, if you had like a Kyler Murray guy, but even then, like, I wouldn't prioritize Watson. I mean, if there's other streamers available, like I would start Trevor Lawrence over Deshaun Watson this week because he's playing against the Lions, and Trevor Lawrence, we've seen him in game action this year be really, really good in spurts. But again, we're holding on to the idea of what Deshaun Watson was.
Yep.
And I think that's kind of dangerous, or it's rolling the dice, putting him into your lineup. Because, conventional wisdom would tell you, oh, yeah, he's going to go back to Houston and he's going to put on a show. He's going to throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns and rush for another. But that's probably not reality. That's probably not reality. So the way to attack the Texans and the way they've been attacked all year is through the ground with Nick Chubb and a little bit of Kareem Hunt. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that because they're going to ease Deshaun Watson in to get him to, getting him some game action for the first time in almost 2 years.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you here. I believe that's cap. If I'm one of these owners that have Deshaun Watson, been sitting on him, or maybe you picked him up a couple of weeks ago, I'm not starting him the first game back. Maybe
Superflex. You can probably start him in Superflex.
Yeah, Superflex, yeah.
In one quarterback leagues, there's other options, better options, I think, this week than Watson.
If your second quarterback has been shitty all year, super flex, and somehow you made it to this point, then yeah, I can understand it. But one quarterback leaves, I'm not even doing that, man. I'm playing someone that's been here all year. Because all I think about Deshaun Watson is how he played those preseason games, and he looked like shit. So, and we saw that one preseason together, that one game. Well, I can't remember who they were playing, but just looked like shit. Yeah, Jacksonville, just throwing dirt balls or balls into the stands. I was like, bro, I can't do this, man. It's almost that Josh Gordon syndrome where we saw Josh Gordon ball out, I think 2012 season, when he had like all those eight different quarterbacks and he still put up an all-pro season. And ever since then, we've been holding on to that in terms of like, oh, he's back. I'm going to put him in my line. I'm going to hold him. He's going to go back to that one season where I saw him do all this damage. I just don't want to fall into that. I need to see it before I can put someone like that in my lineup.
Yep.
All right. Second comment for you or statement is Bam Knight is startable if Michael Carter is out. Cap or no cap?
I think he's startable. I think he is. I mean, at this point in the season, I mean, this is, you know, we touched on this many, many weeks ago, or a couple weeks ago. This is the time where you start spending fab, and hopefully you spend some fab on Bam Knight, because he got a pretty good opportunity share. He played 49% of the snaps when Michael Carter went down, basically doubling up Ty Johnson. So he's going to be the guy in that backfield to get touches. And, you know, they also have a favorable running back schedule down the stretch if Michael Carter misses more time than just one game. So I think for as long as Michael Carter is out, I think Bam Knight is not a bad start. No.
Yeah, I think I have to slightly agree here. I believe this is no cap. Again, like you were saying, he did take the majority of the rushing load when Michael Carter went out. So, you know, he's going to get the first, second down carries, and you know he's going to get goal line work. But, you know, Ty Johnson is going to get the valuable touches, which is the third down and any receiving type of downs. But Bam Knight also got work in that area also. He had three targets in that game also. So I think I can be comfortable in starting him this week if you're definitely in need. So,
yeah. So, all right. So on to our next segment, Talk to Me Nice. We're going to just highlight a handful of matchups that we want to attack. Basically, barbecue chicken alert. And these first two pretty much go without saying. We already mentioned it. Nick Chubb versus the Texans. Auto smash. Take the overs on Nick Chubb. Texans allow the most, you know, rush yards per game. Most fantasy points per game. No brainer. And then the next one, Josh Jacobs versus the Chargers. Chargers just made James Conner find the fountain of youth overnight. So, again, you don't need us to tell you to start them, but if you're going to bet them, bet the overs on their props and maybe bet multiple rushing touchdowns as well. Cause I think these are the games where they can score multiple times. Some other matchups we want to touch on really quick. Trevor Lawrence versus the Detroit Lions. We touched on how well Trevor Lawrence has played lately. But you know, he's going against a defense that's 19th in pass DVOA, so they're not great. And they give up the most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks at 24.4, and they give up the fifth most passing yards at 271. But also another caveat is they give up the most rushing yards per game to quarterbacks. So the Lions defense, while they've looked a little bit more serviceable and a little bit decent over the last couple of weeks, they're still bad. Overall, they're still bad. They're still ranking near the bottom in a lot of efficiency metrics on the defensive side of the ball. So I think this is a pretty good matchup for Trevor Lawrence. So if he's on your waiver wire, he would be a very viable streamer option for you this week.
Yeah, I do agree with that. And just to keep in mind, that Jags and Lions game is a 51.5 over under. So expecting a lot of points on both sides. Even on the Lions side, I'm taking St. Brown. You're gonna take Jamal Williams. I guess you could sprinkle in some Swift if you feel a little spicy in playing him. You know, you could just play everybody. You could play Zay Jones, Christian Kirk, Travis Etienne. Like, I just expect a lot of points on both sides of the ball, especially when you're playing the Lions. There tends to be a lot of points scored when you play Detroit at home. So definitely both sides of the ball. Definitely love the Trevor Lawrence play here. The second matchup that we want to talk to.
Really quick, really quick. Going back to DeAndre Swift versus the Jags. The last time he played the Jags was his rookie year in 2020.
Okay.
14 carries, 116 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
I'm just saying.
Just a little something to keep in mind. I know DeAndre Swift has not been on the field as much lately since, you know, he had the shoulder injury and the ankle injury. And Jamal Williams, while he hasn't been on the field a ton either, he's getting all the work on the ground, all the rushing touchdowns. So that could be another good game for this backfield as a whole. So I see at least. I honestly feel like both of them are going to get in the end zone this week. So that's just, it's not a bold prediction. I think that kind of goes without saying, but it could be bold depending on who you ask. But just keep that in mind as well. DeAndre Swift, last played the Jags in 2020, over 100 yards and a multiple rushing touchdowns.
I know the Jags have been pretty good stopping the run. I think they're top 10 in terms of yards per game, but I think they're top 10 in terms of fantasy points given up. So I know the Lions like using Swift in the receiving game, so that could be the play to where you can exploit for Swift owners. All right, so the second play that we want to talk about is the Philly offense. So Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, and D. Smitty versus the Titans. The Titans defense, man, this pass defense gives up the cheeks to everything. So they have allowed the second most pass yards per game. That's at 286, almost 300 yards a game to the quarterbacks in terms of throwing yards. Giving up the seventh most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks at basically 20 points per. They have allowed the second most fantasy points to wide receivers at basically 40 points per game. And we already know how condensed that offense is in terms of passing. So giddy up, A.J. Brown and D. Smitty. They have allowed the fifth most receiving yards to wide receivers at 184 yards. They have allowed the most fantasy points to wide receivers that line up on the outside at 19.1. So, and on top of that, they have A.J. Brown per PFF. They have him listed as the best wide receiver cornerback matchup. And then D. Smitty is the seventh best matchup per PFF.
It's a revenge game for A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
He's going to destroy Christian Fulton on the outside.
Bro.
Like, he's going to baptize that young man. Like, what we're going to see on national television, assuming this game is nationally televised in some capacity, it's not going to be pretty. My advice to any like children out there, don't watch. Because it's going to be ugly. It's going to get very, very nasty out there. It's going to get very nasty out there. So my advice for children, don't watch. Don't watch.
You know, also, then, you know, talk about on the Titans side here. Can Tannehill get the ball to Burks? We've seen Treylon Burks just emerge from the depths after his injury. He's basically at this point a weekly starter in your fantasy lineups.
At the very worst, a flex spot.
Yeah. The last 3 weeks, we've seen him over 25% targets per route run. He has a 2.66 yards per route run during the same three-week span. He has almost a 30% air yard share, and all these number metrics lead his team within the last 3 weeks. So the Titans are definitely looking towards him and being that guy, the A.J. Brown they look to replace. It's just is Tannehill going to be able to get him the ball? Is going to be the main question, because this Titans offense isn't really one to like be smitten over. We know Philly's defense is supposed to be good. They haven't really been that good this last few weeks, especially on the ground. So, we could see a lot of Derrick Henry in this game if Philly is just negligent on stopping the run.
And just real quick on that running game, Jordan Davis was just activated from IR. So I think that opened the practice window, or if he's activated and going to play.
It opens the practice window for them to activate him. So we'll see.
So assuming that he doesn't play this week, Derrick Henry's probably going to smash, because, you know, A.J. Dillon smashed against the Eagles last week. And we know how terrible A.J. Dillon's been all year, except for week one. So so do whatever you want with that information. Do what you please with that information. All right.
Just to talk about the A.J. Brown matchup in D. Smitty, their second corner, Elijah Molden, did not practice today. And I can't remember if Fulton's out or not, but I know Fairley's out on IR. So that's another corner that's missing. And I think Lonnie Johnson, who is another corner, that's going to be out too. So they could be putting out some grocery workers as corners out there this week. So
yeah, and I know that going into the game last week, Christian Fulton was nursing a hamstring injury, and he gutted it out and still got torched by T. Higgins. So he gets A.J. Brown this week if he decides to gut it out again.
Yeah.
Good luck. So all right, so next we're going to touch on the Thursday night game, Bills versus Patriots. Bills are 3.5-point road favorites. The over-under is 43.5. The first thing we want to talk about is Josh Allen, his success that he's had against the Patriots over the last two games. 42 fantasy points. I'm in the wild card and 34.1 in week 16 of 2021. So currently he owns the Patriots, and I don't see that slowing up. I don't really see anything that could really hinder him from having more success. Josh, obviously Stephon Diggs is the number one guy there. You know, Gabriel Davis. We saw Isaiah McKenzie have a season high, I think over 100 yards, and scored a touchdown last week against the Lions. So it's basically business as usual for Josh Allen.
Yeah. I remember week 16 game. Remember we saw McKenzie go like 11 for like 120, something stupid versus the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's in the deck of cards to happen again this week. And didn't the Bills re-sign John Brown?
They signed him to the practice squad, yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be activated to the game day to the active roster.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Yeah, but I know one thing to also keep in mind that Stephon Diggs hasn't really had a good history versus the Patriots. They usually just flat out just double him. I'm not sure what they're going to do here. I know the corners are not as good as they were last year, so it'll be interesting to see how they handle him this week, this coming week. But on the Patriots side, I mean, we did see Mac Jones finally look good versus the Vikings. I know the Bills secondary isn't that good because of all their injuries that they've been handling with. So it'll be interesting to see what they try to do to attack this defense to try to make this game competitive, because it could potentially get ugly really quick if the Patriots offense can't do anything against the Bills defense. But I do know they're going to be missing Von Miller probably this week. So
yeah, and just kind of circling back to the Bills offense, we're going to probably see a lot of Josh Allen again, because the Patriots, they've been just smashing running backs all season long. They're basically the toughest matchup, versus opposing running backs in PPR leagues. They're only giving up just shy of 16 points a game to opposing running backs. And so they're just shutting. I mean, Dalvin Cook had 22 carries for 42 yards on Thanksgiving night against the Patriots run defense. And so obviously we weren't really too high on Devin Singletary or James Cook or whoever other running back they deploy going into this game. It's all about Allen and the receivers and seeing if they can create separation and see if Josh Allen can continue smashing the Patriots.
Yep. If all else fails, then he'll run. I think the last two games that he's played, and he's ran for 66 and 64 yards. So, all right. So let's go ahead and touch on some of these Sunday or Monday games that we deem as important in terms of your fantasy outlooks. Just to be real quick, the Cardinals and Panthers are the only teams on bye. Just be ready for week 14. There's going to be a lot of teams on bye week 14 with important players. So just keep that in mind for next week.
Of course, the last bye apocalypse.
Yeah.
is the last game of the fantasy regular season. So if you drafted a guy in week 14, man, and you actually need him to perform for you and you're trying to fight for a playoff spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But one thing that people don't really think of too much is if you drafted a guy and that has a week 14 bye, I think now is the time to trade him away, see if somebody will bite.
Yep. That's very true.
So you don't have to eat that bye week. You can get like a comparable player to put in your lineup. So if you're fighting for a playoff spot, you can have that guy through weeks 12 through or weeks 13 and week 14 to maximize your playoff push.
Yep, that's definitely a good thing. I once we get out from here, I'll definitely need to go be looking at.
Better start sending out those offers.
Yeah, send out some offers, man. You might have to add a little sweetener on top of it just in case, so they won't even look twice about it. All right, so the first game we want to talk about, this is a game that I'm definitely excited to see, is the Dolphins versus 49ers. 46.5 over under. My question is, who's going to be the guy for the 49ers? They got a lot of potential answers, and the guy that has to distribute the ball, Jimmy Garoppolo, is somebody that you tend not to trust at times because he tends to nut up when the lights are brightest. So who's gonna be the guy? Because the Dolphins have given up the third most fantasy points to the quarterback position. So if he decides to play well, then if the 49ers are going to win, it's going to be depending on him to play well. So I want to know who's going to be the guy. Who's he going to throw? Who's going to be eating? Because on top of this, Miami does give up the cheeks to the tight end position. So Kittle can be a guy that could potentially be the one to exploit.
This could be another George Kittle explosion game. I think we're long overdue for one of those. We haven't had one of those, 150-yard, two touchdown games yet from George Kittle. And I just feel like it's been percolating for weeks. At some point, we got to get it. He's got to give us at least one or two of those games before the end of the season. He always does. This is kind of the time where he does it, right?
I think
this time last year, he gave us that Seattle game where he had that long 48-yard touchdown. We tiptoed down the sideline.
Yep.
I think he had back-to-back games over 150-plus yards.
Yep, it was. It was Seattle week 13 and Cincinnati week 14.
Yeah, I think this is the week that we get a George Kittle explosion game. I just feel it. It's going to happen. I'm manifesting it now, and I'm going to go put some money on it.
Okay. I'm going to join you on that endeavor.
Because why not? And that might be one of my prize picks plays. George Kittle over in yards. That might be one of my prize picks plays. I might spoil one of my prize picks plays right now.
And on the other side, we got the Dolphins. I mean, without even saying Tyreek, Waddle, 49ers are going to have to find a way to stop them because the 49ers secondary really isn't that good. They're going to be really dependent on that pass rush to stop them from getting abused by those two guys. Did you see? So Mostert, I think he was on Twitter on Sunday after their game. He was talking about how he was excited for next week of some sort, saying that he was alluding to that they were going to be able to run against them. And of course, Debo said something, and then I saw my brother. He came out and said something about who's gonna run on us.
Uh oh.
So boys are talking.
Whoa. we got some spice on our hands. We got some spice on our hands.
We do.
But yeah, but Tua, he's been basically the most efficient quarterback in the league. Like if you look at adjusted, EPA per play, he's number one. The EPA CPOE composite, he's number one. And that's completion percentage over expectation. So Tua has been very efficient with those, speed merchants at wide receiver, Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. If you're throwing to those guys, you're going to be pretty successful.
Yeah,
but he's been balling this year, man. Like he's dishing the ball out to everybody. Hell, you're getting Trent Sherfield some catches. Hell, we even had a Cedric Wilson signing
last week. Right after they paid him all that money, even got Craig Kraft,
River
Smythe.
Can't forget about River Craycraft and Durham Smythe. Can't forget about them. Can't forget about them.
But before we get on to the next game, just real quick, just to emphasize the point on Tua. Tua, he also, Miami has the number one pass DVOA in the league and overall number two. So offense, DVOA.
I'm just saying. Yeah. So the next game we want to touch on, it's a rematch from the AFC Championship game, and it's a rematch from late season week 16 or week 17, week 17,
yeah,
2021 17. Season. Chiefs at Bengals, got a 52.5 point over under. Jamar Chase, is he gonna play? Is he gonna finally be active this week? And if he is active, how much does he play? Are they gonna ease him in? Are they gonna just is he going to get a dominant snap share, dominant target share? Because Kansas City, they've allowed the seventh most reception yards to wide receivers per game and fantasy points at 38. So they're vulnerable in that secondary. And if Jamar Chase is active, he's going to get opportunities to show to show some things again.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if they're going to ease him in and, lean on T. Higgins. We've seen T. Higgins, do major work since Chase has been out, man. He looks like a true number one, which has always been the fight this whole season between, a bunch of people, you, me, people in our home fantasy league in terms of who's the number one when really they're both number ones. I mean, when one is out, you see the other one ball. You see both of them ball when they're together. So this only highlights his ability. So, I mean, we'll see. I know last year when we saw Jamar Chase play the Chiefs, we saw him go for a 50-burger. So
the only 50-burger on the season of any player, or sorry, of any wide receiver, the only 50-burger. And that happened on Championship Sunday. So, and at my expense in one championship league, championship game. So we're not going to rehash that. We're not going to rehash that. But real quick on the Chiefs side, I think the one thing that we want to ask, the Chiefs, they signed Melvin Gordon. Does this matter? Okay.
No.
So we hope to go live one day. Gene is shaking the shit out of his head. No.
No,
it is an absolute no. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we're aligned there, because I don't think it matters either. I don't think it matters either. I don't think it's really affects Pacheco, who's looked really good, you know, as of late. Hell, we did see Ronald Jones get some carries, but I think he's going to revert back to the practice squad or wherever he was on the bench with splinters in his ass. When Gordon, they want another veteran guy to kind of carry some, you know, to get some carries. And I think, you know, Melvin Gordon, I think he'll get some playing time, but I don't know what he's going to do with any of that playing time.
Another veteran fumbler. Okay.
Yeah. And he gets to play the Broncos in week 14. So
he's like a AFC West toss now.
This is his third team, the AFC West. So now, you know, once he's done with Kansas City, he'll find a way to sign with the Raiders at some point.
I know, man.
So he wants to play his former team again and do all this other stuff. So we're gonna see him play against the Broncos, and we're gonna probably see him score a touchdown. And then we're gonna, I don't know, it's gonna be an emotional game for him, and based on how things were and whatever the case is. So, but again, we say all this to say his signing doesn't really matter to us. Nope. It doesn't really matter for fantasy. He's just a name at this point in his career. He fumbles too much to even be, you know, because once he fumbles, he's probably going to get benched the rest of the game. Something along those lines. So, all right. So the last game we do want to just briefly touch on is a division game on Monday Night Football. The Buccaneers hosting the Saints. A very, very low 40.5 point over under. Tom Brady, at home versus the Saints in his career as a Buccaneer, has thrown zero touchdown passes in two games and five interceptions. And in those games, scored 3 points, scored 0 points. So, for whatever reason, the Saints seemingly have his number. And on top of that, Marshawn Lattimore might be active in this game.
Really?
Might be.
So he's been holding out all for this moment.
Might be. And, you know, obviously the last time we saw Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore in the same game, fisticuffs. A lot of fisticuffs. So we're going to see round two again, hopefully, you know, maybe. And that does not bode well for Mike Evans, does not bode well for Tom Brady. It just seems like that Saints defense just has something over Tom Brady every time they play them in Tampa. And so, but that's pretty much the only thing that, I mean, I know Alvin Kamara has an injury, and we'll see what his practice participation looks like. But, and you know, Chris Olave is looked really, really good as a rookie wide receiver for the Saints. But I mean, there's really nothing else from this game to really talk about. I mean,
there really isn't.
We touched on Rashad White and Leonard Fournette earlier, but you know, Chris Godwin's looked really good. You know, he had double digit targets, over 11 catches, 120 plus yards, and a touchdown last week against the Browns. And so we'll probably look for that to continue from a target share perspective. But yeah, I mean, that's basically it for this game.
Yeah, is. You're going to play your studs here, but you're going to be you're going to be sweating, because I don't think you shouldn't be expecting much just based on history and based on these defenses. These defenses tend to play well against each other. They've been middle of the road or pretty good versus the run and pass. So if you can find some different options for somebody, I don't want to advise you not to play like your Kamaras or your Evans, but especially if Lattimore is playing, I don't expect him to do anything. I'm telling you that now, especially with that Bucs offensive line not being healthy at all. You might want to look to other options, honestly. just to be real about it.
Yeah, that makes sense, man.
All right, so that is the end of the show. We appreciate y'all listening, tapping in with us. Again, what I need y'all to do is please go to Destination Devi Radio on Spotify, Google, or whatnot. You'll find all our podcasts. You'll find ours that drops Thursday morning. You know, hit the follow button if you haven't. Rate us 5 stars if you're on Apple. You know, share with your friends. Comment below. Post on Twitter, whatever the case may be.
But yeah, no, I echo everything Gene said. I echo that shit. That's the value add right there for me. take the overs on Josh Jacobs. Take the overs on Nick Chubb.
Yes. On that note, like I said last week, let's get nasty on that waiver wire for these last 2 weeks to make that playoff push. Let's get these W's. Let's get ready for the playoffs. Y'all be safe.
Peace.